Up first, though, this afternoon, we get on board the telephone line and welcome in our friend Nick Coit from ABC6 in Providence. Hi there, Nick.
Hello, Mr. Kimball. How are you?
Fabulous. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, wonderful. Just, just getting around the state of Rhode Island here, doing our coverage and getting ready for the holidays. It's getting closer, and I'm excited for it.
You're over there at the Ryan Center, so if you turn, I don't know which way, right or left, you can see the stark difference between how Rhode Island values basketball versus football.
Very true. So it is getting better, and it is
improving,
which is good. Yes.
I would like it if they would do something with that press box before our next visit.
Well, might not be your next visit, but keep going for another 5 to 10 years, and maybe it'll happen for you.
Okay. Hey, speaking of Rhode Island, we have a Rhode Island legend coming on the show next week.
Yeah, who's that?
Ernie D.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, what a wonderful man he is. He is a class guy, so I'm sure he's going to be talking about his new book with you, which is great.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet. I just got it yesterday, but yeah, he'll be on with us next Tuesday to talk about the book, which I hear is very good.
I see Ernie all the time at the Friars games. He's a wonderful man. You'll very much enjoy the conversation. And I love, so Ernie, obviously Providence has the new head coach this year, men's basketball, and Kim English. And Kim has really embraced the, you know, Friar culture and Friar history, and Ernie's obviously a huge part of that. And he told a great story about how he actually had Ernie come speak to the team, early on in the season. And if you remember, or if you've ever seen the old clip of Ernie making that behind-the-back pass forward.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it was to Marvin, or I can't remember who it was to, but he actually, with Ernie there, had some of his players try to do that, and they had no chance, just couldn't do it. So it just tells you how unbelievable he was with a basketball. So yeah, Ernie, that's a great guest. I'm sure he'll very much enjoy it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Well, let's talk about what's going on the New England sports scene right now. Let's begin with the Patriots. Depending on who you listen to, this is it for Bill Belichick. That doesn't surprise me, but I'm not sure all of it's been worked out completely yet, because I believe him. Am I way off on this? I think at the very least, Bob Kraft calls him in and says, look, 24 years, you have been the greatest coach in NFL history. We'd love to have you stay around, but somebody else has got to buy the groceries. Are you open to having a general manager?
That's sort of what I thought would happen at the end of the season, Rich. I imagine these two guys having a sit-down conversation. When you have that kind of relationship and it's lasted that long and you've had that much success and you have that much respect for each other, that's the way that I think it may happen too. Now, what Tommy Curran has heard, I'm not sure, but Tommy Curran hears a lot of things down there, and a lot of them have been very, very accurate over the years. So he's hearing something, and I don't think Tommy Curran's going to report that without him feeling comfortable reporting that. He's not just throwing stuff against a wall. So clearly something has been discussed down there, talked about. Somebody said something to him. There's something to this. But I'm with you, Rich. I think ultimately, at the end of the day, or at the end of the season, the two will have a conversation and they will figure it out. So do I think it's a done deal? He's out at the end of the season? I don't necessarily think so, because I'm with you, Rich. Maybe he is open to it. Maybe he thinks about it and says, you know what, I still want to coach. All right, yeah, let's bring in somebody that's going to sort of run personnel, and I'll continue to coach here. I think it could. Will it happen? I don't know what the percentage is. I don't know, but I could. There's a slight chance, at least.
Now, if they do part ways, do you see them staying in-house and going with somebody like a Gerard Mayo? Do they look to a former Patriot with some head coaching experience?
I think Gerard is, if not at the top of their list, near the top of their list. There's a reason Gerard Mayo is still here. There's a reason he turned down an interview in Carolina last year. There's the reason that they put him in that very short press release with searching for an offensive coordinator at the end of last season. Gerard's name was in that 2-3 sentence press release. So clearly they value him. They value what he brings to the staff. They value what he could potentially mean as a head coach. So I think he's at the top of the list. And it sounds like, and the feeling is, I don't think they're going to go completely clean slate. They'll probably go with someone who has some sort of tie to the Patriots, whether that's head coach or personnel. Like, I wonder if they would dip into the past with somebody that, you know, maybe wasn't a GM here necessarily, but, you know, was in the personnel department and then was GM somewhere else or led a department somewhere else. I think Patriots ties will probably be considered, you know, very strongly with whatever process they go through here.
Bailey Zappe has looked okay, not too bad the last couple of weeks, but is he the quarterback of the future?
I don't think so, but it's not necessarily a bad thing here if he plays well and shows well and the Patriots feel like they at least have a guy that can play quarterback that could help them maybe even in the short term. Maybe you have the number two overall draft pick and you take a Drake May and he is your future, but Zappe had a good at the end of last season, so they go through camp and maybe they feel comfortable, okay, here's our veteran that's going to start for us. It's Bailey Zappe, who next year would be in his third season. You know, if he continues to play like that, then I think it only benefits you. And then maybe it becomes your backup long term, something like that. I, you know, people, these last four games are valuable. People, you know, they're sort of like, I'm done with this season, whatever, I'm ready for the future. But it's valuable for a lot of guys in their situations. And I would put Bailey Zappe in that category. And I think the confidence and the swagger that he's played with has been really refreshing. You know, whether he wins or loses, he's been pretty confident and he's been pretty straightforward. And that's a good thing, because I think there's been a bit of a, as I think they've hinted at down there, roller coaster with the guy that was playing quarterback before.
And obviously it would behoove them to lose the rest of their games and get a better draft pick. I just don't see Bill Belichick or this team, given the fact that most of them or many of them have been around for the very successful seasons, that they would go out and do anything except try to win the last four.
Yeah, I agree. And again, there's too many personal situations that are aided by going out there and giving your best effort. You know, like a Hunter Henry continuing to get into the end zone here the last four games is only beneficial to Hunter Henry, because he's gonna get a new contract somewhere, whether it's here or somewhere else. You know, some of these guys that have stepped forward on defense, like I think Jabril Peppers has had, you know, a good season. I think he's been a guy that's like, people like him. You know, he comes off really well, sort of a buy-in kind of guy, culture kind of guy. Like, why wouldn't you want to see a guy like that give the best effort, have a good season, and then maybe he re-signs here. Maybe he's part of the solution here going forward. So, yeah, I don't see it, because there's just too much on the line. And, hey, here's the plus side. If you were watching Monday night and you saw those two teams that won, you know, come back and win, it's only good for the Patriots, because it creates a little separation. It allows them now to say, hey, we can at least win a game of these four and still feel okay. So if you're a Patriots fan, Monday night was a great night for you.
Well, there you go. Nick Coit with us here on Downtown. Let's talk a little baseball. Red Sox apparently one of the many teams in talks with Yamamoto. They've already said that getting some pitching is a priority. Should he be their number one, or should they look to somebody who's got some major league experience?
Well, come on, Rich. They're full throttle. That's what ownership said, full throttle. Let's go. Step on the gas. Here we go. Rev it up. Rev it up for Roberto Perez in a minor league deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're loaded now, baby.
Oh, baby. We are rolling. They shouldn't have said that, because now here we are. And the offseason's going, and, you know, Juan Soto's in New York, and Shohei Ohtani's in L.A., and the Red Sox are dealing with what they're dealing with right now. I mean, I like Yamamoto as a prospect. I think that the Red Sox, I think it would be wise, you know, not only for their pitching staff and what happens on the field, but perception-wise, I think it would be wise to really make a run here at this guy, because they need it. They need this kind of buzz. The biggest thing I said about the Red Sox was they need to feel like they are big market players again. And so far this offseason, that hasn't been the case. And I don't really blame Craig Breslow yet, because he's kind of new to it. This is sort of par for the course. So, you know, they changed that position. They changed who's in that position. So where do you look? Where do you say, what needs change, you know, who hasn't changed their ways, it's ownership and their spending, what they're trying to do there. And so, you know, until that changes, you're going to have, you know, quote unquote, full throttle, not really full throttle off seasons here. They need to, I know it's scary paying guys $700 million, but not like they don't have the money. So,
and it sounds like, too, they don't want anybody who isn't going to be around for more than one or two seasons. So that means you've got to raid the farm system, and some reports already out of Seattle that they turned down whatever the Red Sox were offering to get one of their young pitchers who were under team control, either George Kirby or Logan Gilbert.
Yeah, it's... I mean, you have to take... I get it. Like, you don't want to sign bad contracts, some of these big contracts, like... You know, the Bogaerts contract doesn't look great right now.
No.
After year one. I get it. But, first of all, you know, that's just sort of changing what happened in the past with the Red Sox, that they have gone to him with a good offer before he hit free agency the year before, then they wouldn't be dealing with an 11-year deal. They'd probably be dealing with, like, a 6-year deal, and it's not that bad. So that's the thing. They need to have a little bit of foresight with that, number one. But number two, this is baseball, and if you want the big stars and big names, these are the kinds of deals. This is the cost of doing business now in the game. And so, and like I said, it's not like the Red Sox don't have the money. We're still going down there and paying the ticket prices and all the things you're paying for at Fenway Park. Still happening. So, you know, don't give me that they don't have the money. If they want to win and they want to commit to it, they're going to have to sort of adapt in that way and not just pay guys, you know, that are at a premium, that are a low cost and all that stuff. You're not going to sell your fan base around there on that. You're really not.
All right, so what would Nick Coit, the longtime baseball fan, like to find in his Christmas stocking from the Sox coming up in a week or so?
Yeah, just I would like a top-of-the-staff pitcher. And if it's Yamamoto, it's Yamamoto. If it's somebody else, like a Montgomery or something like that, you know, then I would like that. Like, they need to add to the starting rotation. They need guys, because going into next season, if they're going into spring training and they're starting to sell us on Chris Sale again.
Oh, God, no.
No one is taking the cheese. It's not happening. We're too smart around here. So I'd like that. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe another bat there somewhere in the order that can, you know, help Devers, that can protect him a little bit, you know, and you know, that doesn't have to be a big money deal. I don't know how much is out there in terms of big money deals, but something like that. I just like to feel it. I just like to reach into the stocking and feel a little bit of excitement, like, ooh, what's this we got here for the Boston Red Sox this year? So that's how I'll answer that. How about that?
Well, you've been a good boy this year, so I think that might happen.
I like your faith. You're keeping it, Rich, and that's unlike a lot of people. Right?
And it may not be Christmas morning, but sometime before spring training, I believe we're going to wake up, not all at once, of course, and go, hey, that's pretty good. Blake Snell, Lucas Giolito, and Whit Merrifield at second base. Good offseason, Craig. Nice work.
I would like something like that. Yeah, Snell is a good name to throw in there, too. Something like that. Just give me a little bit of something to look forward to with baseball instead of, you know, I don't want to hear we got five aces on the staff again. Let's not go through that again. I want to be excited about my baseball team. Gosh.
I'm with you on that. Nick, always great to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for coming on with us this afternoon. Hope you and the family and everybody at ABC6 have a wonderful Christmas season.
Rich, right back at you. Hope you all have a great holiday season up there. Miss being up there, even this time of the year, even how cold it is. You know, I enjoyed my holidays up there when I was up there. So happy holidays to you and yours, and hope you guys enjoy it.
Thanks, Nick. We'll talk with you in the new year.
Thanks, Rich.
That's Nick Coit, ABC6 in Providence, with us here on Downtown as we get it started on a Thursday afternoon.